Tonight, I want us to continue in looking at life's healing choices. And the thing is, on the healing choices, meaning we look inside of ourselves, we know something's not right. So we spend the time making choices about our healing. What do we do to rectify certain? We do the same thing with our body physically. This focuses on our spiritual healing, our spiritual growth. Tonight it is maintaining momentum, which is the growth choice. This seems to happen to us just like it happens when we accept Christ as Lord and Savior. And then, just as time goes on, we sort of fall back from our study. We fall back from our service. We fall back from, a commitment. Because we, during the salvation process, we're so excited about receiving Christ that sometimes after we've received Christ, young people, all people, seem to go through a period of, okay, I'm saved, that's good enough. Well, unless we maintain our momentum in our growth, we will cease to grow. And if we cease to grow, then, thank you, if we cease to grow in our relationship with Christ, what we're going to find out is we will slow the growth of those around us. Christians are to be the light to one another and also the light to the world. So it's not just that we Christians are going to encourage one another, but we have to grow in order to reach out to the lost and dying world. Here's reserve a daily time with God for Bible reading, self-examination, and prayer in order to know God and His will for your life, and to gain the power to follow His will. We get powered down a lot in our relationship, meaning in our excitement. Let me do it that way. I think Christians, we're right. Once we accept Christ as Lord and Savior, yes, we're saved, and yes, we're going to be with Him. But sometimes our excitement in our salvation and the excitement of what God has called us to do in service to Him, that gets dulled. Well, what dulls it? God's certainly not dulling it. Our lifestyle will dull it. Our getting back into our human thinking instead of spiritual thinking. We need to feed our spirit. None of us seem to have any trouble feeding the physical. But our spiritual food needs to continue to keep us nourished spiritually so we can glorify God. Listen to 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, the first part. And this is the message. Test yourselves to make sure you are solid in the faith. Don't drift along taking everything for granted. Give yourselves regular checkups. Now, here's predictable pattern for relapse, where a Christian relapses back and goes in the opposite direction. First one is complacency, getting too comfortable. Getting too comfortable in God's love. Getting too comfortable knowing that God is going to bless us, and He will. God blesses us when we don't deserve the blessings. He's not blessing us because we deserve it. He's blessing us because Jesus deserves it, and we have His blood running through us. So, complacency, getting too comfortable. Don't get too comfortable. When you get too comfortable, folks, you let your guard down. Again, you'll look at something that you know that you wished you hadn't done before. It's an old habit or instead of discipline, you got into a worldly habit, and you'll find yourself drifting back. Why? Because you get complacent in your relationship with Christ. As Paul keeps saying, the war is within himself, where he said, I'm warring against myself. I'm warring against my spirit. Our battles are being fought on the inside. Number two is confusion. Rationalize and play mental games with yourself. Well, I don't think God will really mind if I do it this time. I don't think it's really that big of a deal. oh, you know, everyone needs to do their own thing, including me. So I'm not sure that God would be happy with me if I made an open statement that I truly believe that homosexuality is against the will of God, because I know God does not want me to hurt people. God wants me to help people. So we get confused from our, and what confuses us is our human condition, because we get to playing around. See, I'm spiritual. The only thing that's going to last for either one of any of us is our spiritual being, who we are spiritually. Okay, but the war that we're having is with the physical, because we want to have peace. We want to offer peace. But you can never, folks, offer hope to someone if that hope is based on a lie. If that hope is based on the hope that we're trying to give them is a hope of our mind, of our way we think. Well, I understand. Now, I can love and I can accept. I can talk. I can be a part of them. And I'm talking about the world itself. I am called by God to do that. My whole ministry has been spent to do that. But when put in a corner, or when asked, what do you think that God believes, thinks about me and what I am doing, and blah, 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 whatever it is. Well, at that point, I must tell them what the scripture says. I must stand strong and solid in the Bible. And they say, well, that's just how you read it. Well, how do you read it? And most of the time that when I listen to people, how they read it is they read it in the way that they want to understand it, in a way that makes them feel good. Christianity is not based on a feeling. It's based on a relationship. Please don't ever forget that. So don't get so confused with what people say. Well, can't you look how pitiful this is? Look how sad that it is. We're living in a nation right now where more people live together unwed than are wed. Unwed than are wed. 22% of the families in the United States, no family member works. 22% of the families in the United States, not one member within that family works. Now, something I looked in and looked at on those stats, because I always like to challenge them. One thing I noticed that they did do, they put in that percentage retirees. Well, see, I don't see it that way. Retiree, they said, doesn't work, you know, and that's the scale that they're doing it. So I think it's skewed. I don't think that you can say that it's appropriate. Although when it just comes out the way they gave it, I thought, that's horrible. What are we talking about? But then I got to looking, and they included retirees. Good gracious. You work your whole life and then go home to find a sit down for a little bit, and people say, you want everything, you ain't working. And then if you get out to work, you know what they say? Well, you old person, why are you here taking away from the younger kids? Go on home and sit back down. Well, you can't please everybody. Compromise is the third one. Returning to the risky situations. All right. Lord, I've served you for 6 months and I have been straight, but I think I need to go across the line. I'll just do it one time, Lord, and I know you'll forgive me. And as soon as you step across the line, Lord, you forgave me this time, and I know you'll be there for me the next time. So don't compromise in saying, well, look, Lord, I've given up everything to serve you, and yet can I just keep one little sin? Come on, one little pet sin that I have, and that's a compromise. And then you return to a risky situation. Guess what? As soon as you return to the risky situation, half the church is standing there looking at you, that you know. So don't do that. Or for the preacher that turns around at the local liquor station. Right, Gene? Number four. Catastrophe. Giving in to the old hurt, the old hang-ups, and the old habits. Folks, that is when you blow up. Be careful with that. I've seen many Christians do it. And people say, well, you know, is that a Christian that will do that? I hate it when people say that. Say, now, is that the way a Christian ought to act? No, and the way you're talking is not the way a Christian ought to talk either. To say it is, you and I do not act right the majority of our time as Christians. Think about what you think at the red light when the horn started or anything else. Now, you didn't have to say it. You think God ain't reading your mind? And that gets real frightening, doesn't it? Lord, I didn't mean to think that, but it's too late anyway. Okay, why do we fall back? You ready? There are four causes of a relapse. Here's what we're going to look at. Cause number one, reverting to our own willpower. Christians, we do not maintain our Christianity. You can only maintain what you began. You did not begin your Christianity. Christ maintains my Christian relationship, not me. I did not gain it through anything I've done. So therefore, I can't maintain it by what I do. But don't revert back to your own willpower. Galatians 3:3. How can you be so foolish? You know, Paul was a little blunt. Every one of those books of his, you do know that when in translation came, they had to clean it up. The words and all, they really did. This was, sailors, fishermen coming off the boats. Come on. They never said a word out of the way. Yeah, two of them were calling down fire on a whole village just because they didn't treat Jesus right. How can you be so foolish? You began by God's Spirit, right? Do you now want to finish by your own power? And that's exactly what we think we do. Christ convicts us through his Holy Spirit. Christ saves us when we recognize him as Lord of our life and say, come in. He does every bit of it. And then we decide to tell God how we're going to serve him. Lord, you've called me to preach, but now here's where I want to go and preach. And then everybody wants to be in Hawaii, unless there's a storm. Okay. God will let you relapse. Now listen to this. God will let you relapse if that's what it takes for you to realize you can't do it on your own. And I've had people say this. Well, Brother Larry or Chaplain Vance or Brother Vance, whatever they want to call me, and they have called me a whole lot of things. But what they're saying is when you're listening to them, they think that they can now control their actions when they had no power in it, in their salvation to begin with. And now, don't you think that I can handle this? No. If you ever have to ask somebody if you can handle something, you can't. If you have to ever ask somebody, now I want to ask you a question from my heart. Is it ethical for, as soon as they start, I said, stop right there. If you have to ask me whether something is ethical or not, it's not ethical. Don't ask me that. Don't start, is it ethical for me to, that means you're already, your spirit's warring with your mind on the issue. Zechariah 4, second part of verse 6, you won't succeed by might or by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of armies. Nowhere in the scripture from the beginning of Genesis through Revelation will you ever find a spot where God says, okay, I'm leaving you on your own. It never is it there. You can't do it on your own. If you could, Jesus would not have had to come and die on the cross. The steps we've looked at. Here we go. This is what we've already been through. You all have just forgotten it. Number one, the reality choice. That was a choice that we had to admit that we needed help. Next was a hope choice. That's getting help. The next one was the commitment choice. That's where you let go. You got to let go of something to pick up something else, folks. You can't say, okay, I got Jesus on the right side and I got the world on the left. That don't work. bad balance. Then number four was the house cleaning choice. Come and clean. That's where you made your own list. That's where you made your list and checked it twice. A lot closer than Santa Claus ever would. Because that's within you spiritually. And I've told you, I don't care how many of the smart people tell you that you need to get folk in a group and you share it with them. And I'm the one that says, do not do that. Anything that is depth of your heart, you take that to Jesus. And you keep it there. Someone can destroy you or will break your will. They will. And today, everybody loves you. Tomorrow, most of the ones who loved you won't love you because you're not doing it the way they think you should. As long as you do things that please people, you're fine. As soon as you say, well, wait a minute, no. The Lord does not say anything about a divorced individual being a deacon or serving in a church. That is not in the scripture. And it isn't. It says be the husband of one wife. And there were husbands had multiple wives. At the beginning of it said you can't do that. Gosh, if you ask me if they had that many wives, they're too dumb to be a deacon anyway. Can't be too smart to leave the church if we're going to live. Okay. Number five. The transformation choice. Making changes. The changes. Now, you don't make a change in your relationship with Christ. Once you accept Christ, you're His. Okay? Making changes then, what changes do I make? I make it in my attitude, the human part of me. It's where I'm focusing on change because I know that under conviction spiritually, I'll make change from my physical or my mental. And number six, we went to the relationship choice. And that was, remember folks, be careful with your relationships. And I'm talking about friends and all. What is it? You hold your friends close and your enemies closer. But you in your relationship, you cannot go around running around with people who stay in trouble all the time and be a witness for Christ. You can't do that. You can't say, yes, I'm a Christian, so I'll be there Sunday preacher, but I got to go get drunk Friday and Saturday. I don't say, well, don't come. I say, well, this is exactly where you need to be. It's right here. And I hope you vomit and are sick for a month. You know, I hope you vomit till enough blood comes up. You got enough sense to stop. And then you say, I love you. Go in peace. Okay. Cause number two for a relapse. Ignoring one of the steps. You know, you set your life and you say, I'm going to pay attention to what I'm doing. And then you ignore. What do you ignore? You ignore the one that tells you not to do what you really enjoyed doing. You know, it's like if you make a commitment at the beginning of the year, no more peanut butter fudge, it's dumb commitment. Don't make it. But when you do that, then what do? Lord, I don't think a couple of pieces will hurt me. And then I get to the couple of pieces, and before I know it, Faye is saying, where's the fudge? Well, it's gone. It just all disappeared. Not only did I feed my body, I fed my spirit. And right after that, I went out and got the White Castles. Okay. Here we go. Cause number two, ignoring one of the steps. Galatians 5, first part of verse 7. You were doing so well. Who made you stop obeying the truth? Again, folks, please remember, all of the teaching, all of this is going on to the church. A lot of people think that when they're reading the scripture, you know, that God is talking to the lost. No, he's not. We're talking, Jesus is talking to the church, the believer. Now, what he's saying to the non-believer is, here's a guideline for life. The Christian knows that. So Paul is in the church of Galatia and all of the others, and Paul is saying, you people are acting worse than the infidels. But you know, in all of that chewing out that he gave them, not one time would you ever hear him say, so therefore you're not a Christian. He never said that. He said, you Christians are acting worse than the non-believer. But he never said, so therefore you're not a Christian. You didn't get into the problems overnight, and you're not going to get out of them overnight either, right? Lord, now that I've accepted you as Lord and Savior, when I wake up in the morning, I want all the bad debt gone. I want all the hurt feelings gone. I want everything gone. And you wake up, and it's not happening, and you say, phew, this didn't work. Amazing. Cause number three, trying to recover without support. To me, the church is the support. But it's not the support for you to come and tell your innermost hurts and pains. Please just don't do that. It really bothers me with some great preachers that I love their preaching, but when they say that, you get you a group and you just pour your heart out. I know what happens in that situation. Okay. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10. Two are better off than one because together they can work more effectively. If one of them falls down, the other can help them up. But if someone is alone and falls, it's just too bad because there is no one to help him. Now, this comes back, though, to the order of the church function. As a church body, people would say, well, you excommunicate them from the church. The excommunication from the church is done from the individual. Now, if you have somebody, and I would say that they have a mental condition, when openly they're going out and living for the world, and they're on staff at a church or they're active within the church, that's when then they are confronted with the outward actions. But how do you excommunicate a Christian? You will tell them they cannot be in a leadership role. So if they're not in a leadership role, then we've got folk that come to this church that you all have no idea, and you don't need to, of the hurt and the brokenness that's inside of them. But many that I would say, no, you can't be in a leadership role and, engaged in what you're doing. But if you put them out, am I ever going to see any hope that they will come around at one time? And the cleaning, though, has to be done through Christ. Is there a time when the church says, don't come back? Now, there's only two people that I know of since I've been here that I've asked not to come back. And those two people, though, I was afraid of the hurt that would physical hurt of others within the church, and the other was this guy was just vile, period. And I caught him in too many different acts around the church and told him never come back. So, but see, those are things that leaders within the church need to take care of. Now, I'll admit that I'm a little rougher than some pastor would be with them. But I can spot an individual that's come to do harm or to just decide that they want a partner, I think, as this guy said. I'm just at church to try to find myself a partner. And I said, well, why don't you go down to the jail and wait till we release him down there. Cause number four, becoming prideful. Man, that pride will nail you. Proverbs 16:18, pride leads to destruction and arrogance to downfall. There should never be any such thing as a prideful, arrogant Christian. But there are prideful, arrogant Christians. That causes more troubles within a church, within that Christian's life themselves. But pray for people, confronting needs to be from someone who's led of God to confront, because you got to be careful in this day. We're in a time period like I have certainly never seen about the meanness of people and what they'll do to folk. You say one thing. What was it? A young girl the other night that the guy asked her if she'd go to the prom with him, and she said no, and he killed her, stabbed her to death. Yeah. And I think, gosh, I remember the preacher that his wife died, and a year later, Some woman in the church had wanted him to date him after his wife had died, and he said, "I'm not going to date anyone. I was dedicated to my wife, and now I'm going to spend the rest of my life dedicated to the Lord." And she walks into the pulpit and kills him. So, because somebody asked me on that and said, "What would you have done?" I said, "If I'd known she was going to kill me, I'd have said, 'Wait a minute, I'll talk to you after church.'" Gosh, that was, but that's the world that we've got right now, folks. 1 Corinthians 10:12. "Whoever thinks he is standing firm had better be careful that he does not fall." Now, you get that cocky attitude, and then, you know, you've condemned every other Christian for anything that they've done. Then all of a sudden, guess who's in the ditch of life? And then there you are down there, and you've done exactly what you condemned everybody else for doing. That stuff always comes around, people. Pride is one of the most destructive forces in your life, right? And it doesn't matter whether you have the pride or loved ones have the pride. Pride is a destructive force. I know people that are so proud of a vehicle. And they go nuts over the vehicle. They're over the trucks. Okay. Oh, my pickup truck. But one thing that I know also, while I'm at that, your dog. Oh, gosh. I remember the dog that died, and the son-in-law had to carry. They put it in the concrete, poured the remains in the concrete slab, and she used it for a doorstop. And every time she moved, he carried the dog for him wherever. Yeah, that gets a little heavy on that. Mark 14:38. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Who was Jesus talking about? Disciples. Remember? Yeah, he's telling them, pray. What to do? They're all sleeping. I mean, they sleep. Maintenance tools for preventing relapse. Here they are. Maintenance tool number one, evaluation. 2 Corinthians 13:5. "Test yourselves to make sure you are solid in the faith. Don't drift along taking everything for granted. Give yourselves regular checkups. You need firsthand evidence, not mere heresy, that Jesus Christ is in you. Test it out. If you fail to test, do something about it." That means this plainly, have you accepted Christ? Can you go back to and point at the period of time? And you don't, I'm not talking about the very day, I'm not talking about it, but do you know within your heart that you accepted Jesus? And then when you know that, every time you start going downhill, go back to the beginning. Think back to the time, "I know I'm saved," because Satan will do everything he can to let you know you're not even a Christian. And then want to be baptized again, and then baptized again, and then baptized again. Baptizing does not make you a Christian. So, thinking, "Well, I messed up, and every time I mess up, I got to go back." That's another lesson. Lamentations 3:40. Let's take a good look at the way we're living and reorder our lives under God. Reorder. Meaning having the order in our life needs to be direct from God. Four kinds of evaluation. Here they are. Number one, what is the body telling me? That's a physical examination. If your body's hurting, good guys, you'd go to a doctor. You know, "Oh, no, I've had this pain for years." Would you go to a doctor? No. You think it's going to get better? No. Well, go ahead and hurt. If you're dumb enough to keep holding on to it, go ahead. Yeah, well, that was. Yeah. See? My wife told you to say that, didn't she? Okay. Number two, what am I feeling right now emotionally? Remember, Christianity is not based on emotions. Christianity is based on a relationship. You can be miserable emotionally and be a Christian. I mean, good gracious. Okay, the emotional heart test. Here it is. This is the acrostic for heart. H, am I hurting? E, am I exhausted? A, am I angry? R, do I resent anybody? And T, am I tense? Good gracious. Half of us in here are ready to have a heart attack anytime, aren't we? Think of that. Emotional heart test. Number three of the four kinds of evaluation, am I at peace with everyone relationally? Romans 12:18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. I am not at peace with everyone, folks. I am not at peace with everyone within my family. Because there are some situations, I can assure you, it is not possible to be at peace with. Can you be at peace with when something continues to happen that you know is against God's word? You cannot be at peace in those situations. You just can't be. So if it is possible, Paul was trying to tell them, it's not always going to be possible for you to be at peace. Do you ever just bend over backwards trying to do, and then you keep your mouth shut and you do what everybody says, or you try to smooth everything over until you just about had all you can handle with it? Yep, you have. Okay. Number four, am I relying on God? That's spiritual. How often should I evaluate myself? Number one, spot check, inventory throughout the day, daily review, and an annual checkup. What have I done this year, that will glorify God? When my pastor friends that have retired will say how great it is in Florida, why don't you come down? And I say, how many people did you win to Christ this year? Well, I don't know that I led any. Why do I want to come down? Why do I want to be into that? You and I have a function as Christians. We are to work for the Lord. I do not have a right to retire. When I retire, I'll be out of this world. You got it? You're too young to retire, son. Maintenance tool number two, meditation. Filling your mind with the Word of God. If you're going to meditate, fill it with the Word of God. Transcendental meditation is not going to help it with you, folks. For one thing, you're going to get in trouble if you have to ever try to write a paper on it and you can't spell it. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow evil men's advice, who do not hang around with sinners, scoffing at the things of God. Notice what's called sinning. Scoffing at the things of God. When you're around people and they're using God's name as far as scoffing, and I'm not talking about a curse word in the middle of it. When I hear these kids do the OMG thing, and it just drives me. That is blasphemy for it to ever be uttered. Never. God's name is never to be used unless it's used in a holy way. But they delight in doing everything God wants them to. And day and night are always meditating on His laws and thinking about ways to follow Him more closely. They are like trees along a river bank, bearing luscious fruit each season without fail. Their leaves shall never wither, and all they do shall prosper. Joshua 1:8. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. You are a Christian. Therefore, the Jewish law has nothing to do with you. But there is a law that you must meditate on day and night, the law of love. You look at the law of love, and how can I love more? How can I be more loving? How can I convince people I ought to be loved more? And all of this stuff. You're not going to convince very many. Psalm 119, verse 11, I have thought much about your words and stored them in my heart so that they would hold me back from sin. Maintenance tool number three is prayer. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank Him for His answers.